Yeah, my backup sound guy isn't here, so I got to do it. No, we're all good now. We're good. I won't get stuck in that window quite yet. How's everybody doing this afternoon? No, you don't want to hear me sing. Boy, was that a hot day yesterday. Nolan and I went down to the Ohio State game, and that was brutal down there. Great time, but hot, and we got soaked. Nice to see Ohio State win and Michigan lose. It's always a good day when that happens. I'm very disappointed that Marshall is not here to heckle, though. Yeah, so I'll have to get him when he gets back. So I'm going to keep it nice and short this afternoon. We'll get to the point. And Jeremy's communion meditation kind of went along pretty well with what I'm going to talk about. And the craziness of life, considering you just worked a 16-hour day making donuts yesterday. Didn't bring any for everybody. I won't back up over you, though. But the fact of how crazy life can get, how easy is it for life to get crazy? I mean, we've got four kids, but only one of them's in sports right now. I can remember as a kid, my parents had four kids in 5 years, and from the time I was about six, all four of us were in something almost every season of the year. It is easy for life to get away from us. Easy for us to get busy with work, with honey-do lists, things around the house that need to be done, and so many other things. That it's hard to just sit still. It's hard to focus on what needs to be focused on. It's hard to just sit down and relax. When the lawn needs mowed, when bushes need taken out and trees cut down, and standing in a bucket being lifted up by Bob as a wife looks out the window thinking you're going to die. It was, but we're good. And Nolan just started soccer back up a couple weeks ago, so we got soccer a couple days a week. Work right now is crazy. I'm working till 6:30, 11 o'clock at night. It's easy to get caught up in all of those things. It happens to all of us. It happens to everybody. Everybody has something that needs to get done. There's no rest for the weary, as they say. But for those of you who haven't seen the movie yet, Christopher Robin, the live action, came out recently. It's playing over in Bluffton, $4 a ticket. Great time. Large tub of popcorn, two pops, are only $6. Much cheaper than real cinemas. But we took the family. We went to see that Friday night over in Bluffton. And I won't ruin it for everybody. I know a lot of movies have been ruined by preaching before. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm just going to use a couple lines out of it. In case anybody wants to see it. Now, as a kid, I wasn't the biggest Winnie the Pooh person, but I figured the kids would enjoy it. I knew that Pooh was a bear that loved honey. I knew that Tigger was a tiger that loved to bounce. I didn't know much about Christopher Robin, and in this movie, it picks up with Christopher Robin when he's an adult. I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to ruin it. But there's a couple good lines I wanted to steal out of there. So at one point, Winnie the Pooh is talking to the adult Christopher Robin. And he says, doing nothing often leads to the very best of something. Now when you first hear that, it's like, what in the world does that even mean? It sounds ridiculous. Doing nothing often leads to the very best of something. And what does that really mean? And how does it relate to what I want to speak about this afternoon? We'll get there roundabout way. But when I heard that and a few other lines that I'll talk about here in a little bit, it got me to thinking about life in general and the fact of how oftentimes we're too busy to do nothing. Oftentimes we're too busy to to find the very best of something by doing nothing, because there's always something that needs done. There's always something around the house that needs done, kids that need to be run somewhere, appointments that need to go to, work that needs to be done. And it's hard sometimes to just sit back and find the very best of something by doing nothing. And when I got to thinking about that and thinking about what I wanted to preach on this morning, I kind of came to the fellowship aspect of Christianity. So let's flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 1. And the definition of fellowship, according to dictionary.com, is friendly relationship, companionship, community of interest. Philippians chapter 2, picking it up in verse number 1. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any of... any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, anybody can have fellowship with one another. This is not just something that happens within Christianity. People of the world can have fellowship with each other by going to football games, by going out and shooting guns, by going to spas, by being a man and going camping. Anybody can have fellowship with one another. Fellowship means that you have camaraderie with somebody, that you connect with somebody, you become good friends with people, you get to know people better than just very surface, hi, how are you doing type things. For instance, if I didn't have fellowship with people here, I'd never know that Bob loves Hallmark Channel. Or that Jeremy has a sensitive scalp. And he loves kidney punches, so watch your kidneys when you're around Jeremy. Or that Reuben and Trish have great taste in music. Without that fellowship with people, you don't really get to know them. When you just say hi to people and you don't sit down and really talk to people, it's hard to really understand and connect and to have that compassion for each other. And fellowship is critical here. It talks that if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection or compassion, make my joy complete. Fellowship is critical in Christianity. As Jeremy touched on, the fact that we come together to build each other up. We come together and we need this time. Because let's face it, the world is hard. The world is difficult. We are beaten down a lot in the world. It's not easy to go work a 10, 16-hour day. It's not easy to go deal with people sometimes. Going out to a football game where there's 100,000 people and a lot of people that are not in their right mind and cursing at the football players while they're on the field, it's not easy to deal with that all the time. We need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. We need to have that fellowship with one another so that way we can attack the world. That way we can go throughout the week and we can remember what our true purpose here is. And we've often heard it said that building a relationship with somebody is the first step in getting a Bible study. Mike Harbor always says, grab a bucket of chicken and sit down at their kitchen table. Because if you want to have a Bible study with somebody, if you want to discuss with somebody, they have to know that you care about them. That you don't just care about getting another check mark and having a Bible study with somebody, but you care about them and you care about their soul. It is important to have that compassion for people and not just have it be surface. And the only way to get that compassion is to really get to know people. Now, Nikki and the kids and I really got to know Sue and Jessica Nguyen earlier this year. So we went down to the Virginia Family Camp in Mechanicsville, right outside of Richmond. And we had planned to stay with Sue and Jesse for that whole next week, and then Nikki was going to be a second shooter in a wedding with Sue. Little did we know that somebody that was at the VA family camp would bring a bug that would infect half the people that were there. And you really get to know somebody when you're puking all over their house. I've never seen that much puke before in my life. But you really get to know somebody when you're puking all over their house for 5 days. I mean, out of the 10 people that were in that house, there was 8 of us just could not keep anything down for 5 days. Thankfully, that they gave us their entire basement that they used as an Airbnb, so we kind of had our own separate area. But even though we were sick and they were sick, we had great fellowship. We made great memories. We had great food to eat. We got to know each other on a deeper level because we've seen Sue and Jesse a handful of times at Lancaster Family Camp or Pennsylvania Family Camp. Or Sue came here and went to the Men and Boys Camp before. We've seen them, but you don't really get to know somebody. You don't really have that deeper, intimate fellowship unless you spend quality time with them. In order to spend quality time with somebody else, we've got to stop life for a little bit. We've got to do nothing. We've got to do nothing and just spend time with other people. Forget about all the lists of things that we have to do and enjoy other people's company. Paul here, he's urging the Philippians to be of the same mind, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That one purpose is the Great Commission. So let's flip over to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And having that deeper fellowship helps us to remember what our purpose here is. It helps us to remember that life is not just about work. Life is just not about running kids to sports. Life is not just about doctor's appointments and all of the other drudgeries of life, taking care of the yard and all these other things. But having that fellowship helps us to remind each other why we are actually here. And the reason we are here is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that is what our ultimate purpose here is. That was the great commission that Jesus gave to the apostles of what they were supposed to do, and that's also what we are supposed to do. Let's flip over to Acts chapter 2. Verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, into fellowship, into the breaking of bread, into prayer." Now, it's worth noting here how these different actions are broken up. When it says here they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that is all they had at the time. They didn't have the New Testament scripture that explained the Old Testament for them. We have that now. We have the apostles' teaching in written form. So we can devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching the same way they did by listening to the apostles. They listened to them audibly, and we can read their teachings. The other aspect that is touched on here is they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Isn't that why we come together the first day of the week? To break the bread together, to commune with each other. We do that as well. They were also devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer together, prayer by themselves. We do that here, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights together. We should be doing it at home as well. What else were they devoting themselves to? Fellowship with each other. Because remember, at this point in time, they were breaking away from Judaism. They had just seen Jesus killed, hung on a cross. They will soon see Stephen killed. They will soon see Peter and John beaten, and many of the other disciples that were in Jerusalem scattered. They're going to see Paul beaten and left for dead. They're going to see him stoned. They're going to see him shipwrecked, taken off to Rome. The fellowship was critical in the first century. It is how they kept each other going. The fellowship is critical now. It is how we keep each other going. We are all a part of the body of Christ, right? What happens if you cut a piece of the body off? Is it going to live by itself? It's not going to live by itself. If you cut your finger off, that finger is going to die. And in order to be a part of the body, we need to be connected to the body. We are connected to the body through the fellowship. And the word fellowship here is the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship, community, joint participation. What joint participation do we have together? Well, we join together and take communion with each other, don't we? We join together and sing, don't we? We join together and put on the rally every year, put on the fall festival, teach kids classes, take care of the building. Fellowship is not just sitting down and talking across the dinner table. Fellowship is not just meeting here on Wednesdays or Sundays. Fellowship can encompass many different things. It can be all of that, and it can be more. It can be going golfing like we used to do a few times. It can be the ladies going out on a shopping spree while they go to the women's spa. It can be the men going camping. It can be a multitude of things. But that fellowship of having a deeper connection with each other is important. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 10. Now right now the Montana Family Camp is going on, which is where Marshall is at. And with technology today, we have a great opportunity to be able to see that, to listen to it. All of that is being live streamed, the rally here, down at Lancaster in Virginia. It's all on Facebook. You can download the audio later. Great tools, great information to have for people that can't make it. But it's not the same as actually being there. You can listen to the preaching online. You can even see somebody preaching online. But you cannot have that fellowship. When we go down to the Lancaster family camp, the best part, for me anyway, is the fellowship. Trying to keep an eye on crazy kids running around and being insane, while also having great conversations with each other. Seeing people that we only get to see a couple times a year. But building that relationship, building that connection, because these are the people that we are going to spend eternity with. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How are we going to know how to stimulate each other to love and good deeds if we don't know each other? If we don't have that fellowship outside of Sunday and Wednesday, how are we really going to know each other? There's a book out there called The Five Love Languages. Many of you have probably heard of it. It talks about how different people are affected in different ways. Some people like gifts. Some people are touchy-feely. Some people crave quality time together. In order to know how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, we've got to know that other person. Some people need words of affirmation. Words of encouragement to show them that you love them. I am not one of those people. I am not one of those people that enjoys those words of affirmation. It makes me feel awkward when people do those things. So if somebody doesn't know me, they're not going to know that I don't like that. If if I don't know Jeremy, if I don't know Bob or my wife or anybody else, how are we going to know how to stimulate one another? That fellowship is critical. It's important so that we know how to help each other out, because we all need the help of each other. We can't go through this life on our own. Technology is a great thing. We can text somebody across the world. We can call somebody that's across the world. And it is awesome to have. But it will never replace a face-to-face conversation with somebody. How often do you get a text from somebody and you don't really know what they meant by that text? How often do you get a call from somebody and you can kind of hear the differences in their voice and what they say, so you can kind of catch it a little bit more? But in order to really connect with somebody, seeing them face to face is very, very helpful. Now there was another part in Christopher Robin when we went to watch that movie Friday night. And again, I highly encourage everybody to go see it. Wasn't really what I was expecting. I didn't know exactly what to expect. It was funny, but it had a great moral compass, great story to it. At another part of that movie, Christopher Robin, when he's an adult, he says, "I wonder which way." And Winnie the Pooh says, "I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been." I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Now, I've often been encompassed with work, working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And going to see that Christopher Robin movie, it kind of helped to reinforce the fact that no job is worth that much. Because we only get so much time with each other. We only get so much time with our family and our kids. And we need to take advantage of that time. And sometimes taking advantage of that time is doing nothing. Sitting around and just talking. Sitting around watching a movie together, playing Yahtzee together, playing a game. As Winnie the Pooh said, sometimes doing nothing leads to the very best of something. My encouragement this afternoon is to not let life take control of us, but for us to stay in control of our lives, to be able to encourage one another, to be able to fellowship with one another, to be able to really get to know the people that we're going to be spending eternity with, and how important fellowship is for us, not only for us, but everybody that we are in contact with. Because when we come here to the assembly, we don't come here to the assembly for us. We come here for everybody else. We come here for everybody else to encourage, to uplift. As Hebrews says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." So let us stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us have fellowship with each other. Let us really learn about each other. To be able to encourage each other to keep on keeping on, as Joe Dierte would say. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you in prayer, and we're just so thankful for the time that we have together, for everything that you've blessed us with, Lord God, and we just pray that you be with us. Help us to remember why we are here. Help us to remember the most important things in life, Lord God. Help us to have fellowship with one another, to stimulate and love one another, to encourage each other to good deeds, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.